For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, November 24th, 1984. Thanksgiving weekend, teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Michael Cameron, formerly of Peterhead, Scotland, now of Virginia Beach, Virginia, is the speaker of the morning.
What God can do, little is much from God, isn't it? And I'll tell you something. You know, God, I don't know, but God's got a way of keeping you humble. What did he say that when God has done a dealing in a man's life, and I know it's true. I know no many of you are here today, and God's been dealing your lives. There's been breakings, and there's been humblings, and there's been dealings of God. And when God has dealt with a man and broken him, forever after, God has only got to touch the soul spot. You feel it today. God just touches the soul spot. Oh, I could point to many today, and I know that God has touched the soul spot. You know why he does it? To remind you of the pit from whence you've been dug, and the rock from whence you've been hewn. Listen, before we sing, for all of him, through him, to him, are all things. In the garden, man fell because he was left to his own choice, and the devil came in, but in this move, it's of God. Of him, through him, to him. Listen, it's not what you can do. It's what the Holy Ghost can do with you. Sometimes I have a sister saying that, you know, we receive the Holy Ghost, but and you know, it's amazing what the Holy Ghost can do in our life. But it's not you receiving so much the Holy Ghost coming to you. It's the Holy Ghost taking you over. It's the Holy Ghost gaining control of your life. We don't only receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost receives us. Can you say amen? And only when you know this truth today, it's God that works in you. We were just disordered, left aside. But God's working your life today, willing and doing his good pleasure. Praise the Lord. There's a miracle for you this morning. You know that God quickened this to me today, and I know it's for you today. Because trials and disappointments are only his appointments. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Trials and disappointments are only his appointment to work. Are you listening? A miracle for you. Hallelujah. For in every situation, there's a chance for creation of a miracle of love just for you. Oh, a miracle for you. Oh, receive it today. A miracle just for you. So whatever your problem, he'll carry you through by performing a miracle for you. I'll sing the verse again. Trials and disappointments are only his appointment to work a miracle for you. In every situation, there's a chance for creation of a miracle of love for you. Let's sing it together this morning. Oh, a miracle for you. A miracle just for you. your problem. He'll carry you through by performing a miracle. A miracle for you. Listen. When you are despairing, there's a God who is preparing to work a miracle for you. Do you believe it today? In your darkest hour, He is waiting there in power to perform a miracle for you. Oh, let's stand and sing it to the Lord today. A miracle for you. A miracle just for you. So whatever your problem, He'll carry you through by performing a miracle for you. You know, we fight on highest good. I think it was Madame Guyon that said she kissed the hands of her tormentors because they were performing the will of God for her life. You know, we may be kind of bowed to the circumstances today. But I'll tell you what we can do this morning. We can bow to the God of the circumstances. Can you say amen? I'll tell you, God's got so much work to do in our lives, and we think we can do it all. We think when we were saved, that was it. That was only the beginning. We thought when we were baptized with the Holy Ghost, now we've arrived. No, you've only begun. God began to get a real hold of your life in the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, God is working in you this morning to perform miracles continually. If you only knew the power of God that keeps you day by day, the angels of God that circle you, keep you. As a wall of fire in the book. You listen, we'll sing it and believe God today for a miracle. Amen. Oh, a miracle for you. A miracle for you. So whatever your problem, He'll carry you through by performing a miracle for you. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. Great God of wonders. Hallelujah. Shigarabaka Sikaramahana. Oh, Holy Spirit. Sharaba Kristo Rabohona Mahaisha. Kredo Sibrohona Mahana. You know, Robert didn't know this, but there's a song we picked up recently. I think it's Psalm 34. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. Robert, can you play it? Maybe sing it a little. Just maybe help us a little bit. Hallelujah. And this song will keep with you. And when you're going through your problems, you'll be singing up with this beauty. Instead of complaining as we have today, you'll be singing up with the beauty of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple, to I'm doing quite in his temple. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Is it your desire to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple? One more time, sing it to him. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Oh, hallelujah. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. You can be seated if you can. David, in Psalm 141, said he was separated from the worship in the tabernacle, and his longing was to be back there where he could worship God, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And in Psalm 141, he says, Lord, he says, let my prayer become up before thee as incense. Amen. Let the lifting up of my hands be. I'm not there to see the evening sacrifice, Lord. I'll tell you, Lord, would you permit me, let the lifting of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. Can you say amen? Let the lifting up of our hands be today as the evening sacrifice. Inquire in his temple. Let our prayers come before him as incense. Hallelujah. As the incense was spread over the mercy seat, and as a priest, a high priest, would wave that censer, God says, I will speak with thee from between the cherubim on top of the mercy seat. And as a priest, in Leviticus 16:13, I think it is, the priest would wave that censer. And you know what had happened? God would speak from between the cherubims. God would speak from between the cherubims. The offering was man's. We offer the incense, but the voice was God's. We offer the sacrifice of praise. Let the lifting up of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. Let my prayer come before thee as incense. As I said last night in Revelation 8:4, the incense and the prayers came unto God, and The Bible says the angel took it and he took the fire from the altar and he mingled it with the prayers and the praises of God's people, and he took a bundle and he threw it back to the earth. We can help God accomplish his purposes. You know why? And those thunderings and lightnings on earth. When the judgments of the Lord are in the land, the inhabitants will lay on your fear. That the Lord is throwing these thunderings and lightnings. And let me tell you, when you offer, whoso offers praise, glorifies me. And to him that ordereth it aright, will I show the salvation or the deliverance of God. You've got to talk right. You've got to walk right as well as talk right. It's not enough to talk. You've got to walk. Somebody says, well, it's okay to talk, but you've got to walk the walk. And so as we walk before him, God uses the incense and he uses the prayers and he throws them back in earth and he hits those cancers. And he hits those demonology, these things that would disrupt your life and the lives of your family. So if you want to see your family say, we need to send up some incense. We need to send up some prayers along with our praises. The Bible says, making prayer with thanksgiving. And as you send it to the throne, the Holy Ghost, the angel will take that and mingle it with fire. See, God needs something to work with. And you can give God something to work with today. You know, so many people are so poverty-stricken as Christians, yet they've given God nothing to work with. You know, I was going to talk to Samuel today, but I'll just touch on it. And 1 Samuel chapter 3, but I'm going to share some testimony today. I feel this is the way the Lord's leading. When Samuel was brought to the house of the Lord, and had prayed for a son. And I thank God this morning for praying mothers that can pray into being the purposes of God. Can you say amen? When I'm saying that to you, I'm thinking back to an old aunt of ours who we laid to rest last year at the age of 89. And she prayed every one of her family, her brothers, her sisters, her nephews, and her grandchildren. Everyone, she would pray 7 times for them. And God honored her prayers. God took the prayers of this old sister and mingled them with the coals and the fire from the altar and said, I'm going to save the Cameron family. I'm going to bring in this family that's debauched and drunken. I'm going to bring them in. And I'll tell you something, you need to give God something to work with. I'll tell you, somewhere along the line, somebody has prayed for you. Amen. Somebody prayed for me. And now we're praying for others. Lord, let us lifting our hands be as the evening sacrifice. Let our prayer come up as incense before thee. God, speak through that incense. Speak to that unsaved loved one. Speak to that son and to that daughter, to that mother, to that father, to that brother, to that sister today. Speak, Lord. Because my prayer is coming up as incense before thee. Igarabashika mahana. You know, when Samuel was brought, Hannah prayed for him and she brought that child into being because of her prayers and the blessing of God. A combination of her prayers and the blessing of God. Because God opened her womb. Oh, she suffered. And let me tell you something, and the Bible says that after you've suffered a while, and sometimes we think that we don't need to suffer, we'll suffer. Because through much tribulation, you'll enter the kingdom. You're not going to get it all your way. It's not going to be all my way. But it's going to be God's way. And listen, God's way is the best way. I was preaching last year in York in England. The church my daughter attends there. And an old brother, he'd been 60 years saved, way back in the revival at the beginning of the century with some of the Jeffreys and a mighty move of God. And the pastor said to him, if I were going to ask you something, what would be the outstanding feature of your life? Some nugget that you could tell us today that would really bless us. His old brother stood up. I think he was in his 80s. He said, I want to say one thing. I've always proved that God comes through in time. Are you listening today? You may be wondering if God's going to come through for you today. God always comes through in time. Not your time, his time. I proved. I remember hearing a missionary that he'd gone to Africa and he got filled with the Holy Ghost, so he couldn't honestly take his wages from or his salary from a from a church that didn't believe in the Holy Ghost, so he decided he would trust God in faith. And he found that God provided every need he had. I found one thing, he said. God didn't pay up every Friday, but he paid up. At the end of the year, when he tallied up his salary, he had more at the end of the year than what he was getting from the church that employed him. Listen, it's better to serve the Lord. Didn't you know that God can do a better job for your life? Our hardest thing is to learn to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Hannah had surrendered her life. She'd come to the place where there was no other place to go. She made for the temple. And there's been times in our experience when there's been nowhere else to go. We've just got to come to the place of divine appointment. It happened to be that old Eli, the priest, was sitting in a chair. He was watching her lips move and he thought she was drunk. Is she a drunk woman? No, he says, I'm not drunk. But the agony of my spirit is so deep, I can't find words to express what I find here. Have you ever been like that? You know, Glenn doesn't know this, but the last time we were here, we stayed in a trailer home up there with my wife. We'd come to an impasse in our lives. Our family, as God had blessed us, and we were beginning to settle at home. But as I said, God knows how to self the nest. Robert was at home, he's married. And I thought we were kind of losing desire for the things of God to come on the field again. As we got into that trailer one night, the burden of God came upon us. We began to pray. And God began to pray through us. I'll never forget the burden of intercession that gripped us both. As we wept, cried, and interceded before God. God, bring to pass your purposes. I feel something like Hannah was praying. And you know, we were praying. The amazing thing was we were praying in unison. We were united. The burden seemed to crush us. But we wanted to keep that burden and pray through. Hannah must have prayed like that. And when we went home, after we'd been here 8 years ago, Robert and his wife met us. We never asked them anything. They said, Dad, the next time you travel, we'll go with you. Listen, God answers prayer. Hallelujah. You know, I'll tell you, God can do more with prayer than you ever dreamed of, or the world dreamed of. Hannah was praying into birth the purposes of God. She was bringing into being a man called Samuel. His name means asked of God. Asked of God. Samuel, to me, is one of the greatest prophets that ever lived, because Samuel was a prophet that anointed David. And David was a man after God's heart. So Samuel was a forerunner of the mighty move of God that's affecting our generation today, because I believe God's raising up Davids today. With a heart after God, can you see me? He's raising up little Davids that he may dance before him with a heart. And they'll slay the giants, they'll kill the bears, and they're going to kill the lions for God. Can you see me? He's raising up men that are not depending on their own strength, but are depending on God's anointing. Hallelujah. And Samuel was brought to birth, and they brought him. And this is a beautiful picture. In the second chapter of Samuel, three times it's mentioned. She brought him after he was weaned. Now, in the Eastern custom, they weaned them when they were 3 years of age. Would you give your child at 3 to the Lord? She brought him to the temple, and there the Bible says, he ministered unto the Lord. He worshipped the Lord. 3 years of age. 3 years of age. Listen, some folks say to us, I don't believe you should tell children that young about the Holy Ghost. Listen, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. I was a couple of years ago in Roswell, New Mexico. And we were ministering in a church up in Roswell. And this lady came to us. She was expecting a baby. Well, she says, I'm carrying twins, actually. She says, and these are twins that I've had. And she says, you maybe don't know this, but one of them was filled with the Holy Ghost before he was born. And one of them wasn't. And she says, it doesn't take you long to find out the one who wasn't. I didn't know if I'd pray for the children of hell. Two sets of twins. But I want to tell you something. Hannah prayed and this boy came. He came at 3 years of age. You know, back home, We've grandchildren back home, and we've one little one. He was the first grandchild in our family. And when he was 3 or 4, Robert was his idol. He watched Robert playing the accordion, so he wanted an accordion, so he got an accordion, a little accordion. And he would sing the songs you've been singing. Lord, you've really been good to me, 3 and 4 years of age. And we would visit our daughter in England, and at 6:30 in the morning, our door would open. And then he would come to our bedroom, and he'd say, Grandad, let's have church. And there he would stand on the floor, and he would sing the song that the Holy Ghost gave Robert. Lord, you've really been good to me. One day, we were with him in the city of Aberdeen, Scotland. We were in a large restaurant. Downstairs was a band playing to bring interest to this big place. It was a place called Littlewood. We were upstairs in this restaurant, and without any notice, he stepped into the aisle, and he started to play. He didn't have an accordion, but he was going through the motions. He was only between 3 and 4. And from all over this restaurant, wanting to know what he was doing. I was shocked. I didn't know what to say. Well, I said, he's singing his Sunday school songs. He was worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. We had him one day. We had a couple of American friends visit us in our home. And he said, I said, do you want to hear the little boy preach and sing? They said, yes. They thought they would have a good laugh. But as they heard them begin to sing and read and worship the Lord, they began to weep. I'll tell you something about little children worshiping the Lord. You know, when in Matthew 21, when Jesus was ascending the Mount of Olives and they're crying, according to Zechariah 9, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Bible said that when he came to the, they forbade them, the disciples, you hear what they're saying? He says, listen, if you stop them, you can have stones shouting, praise the Lord. I'd rather praise the Lord with you. I don't want stones to praise for me. I don't want these seats to cry out. I'd rather praise God for myself. God's given me the ability. So, Jesus, you better just don't put your hand in that. I'll tell you, if some folks are trying to put their hand in the anointing of God today, they better look out. Some movements are trying to criticize what we're doing today, they better look out, because they're going to have a problem in their hands if the stones begin to cry. If the stones begin to shout, they'll get scared of their life. And when he came to the temple, the children began to cry. The children began to worship. You know, at that time, I understand the children were brought into the temple, just like Samuel. There they worshiped the Lord. There's a sensitivity of the presence of God. You know, there's something about being sensitive to the presence of the Lord. Little children are sensitive to the presence of God. And they begin to cry. Oh, you know, this really upset the Jews and the Pharisees. I'll tell you, religious people get upset when we worship the Lord. They have rituals, but we have worship. And I'll tell you, there's all the difference between black and white. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And Samuel was brought to the temple. The Bible says, and he worshiped the Lord there. That's definite. There's no make-believe about it. He didn't put on an act. The Bible says, he worshiped the Lord there. The time came when Samuel began to grow. Eli's sons began to, they were against God. They began to fornicate with the woman that came to lay the curtains in the temple. And so that the way of God was evil spoken about them. Eli knew his sons and he warned them. And God said to a priest, listen, I'm going to remove your priesthood. I'm going to remove your name from the face of the earth. And listen, there'll be no more men of your rank are going to serve me. Listen, God deals in judgment with those that play with the office that we're called into. Now listen, God always warns, but he always judges too. And I'll tell you something, God began to judge the house of Eli. These men that come, they would come to the offerings of the Lord, and they'd bring their meat, and they'd put it into the cauldron. And as it was, they would boil the beef and the meat until the fat was burned. But they said they didn't want that. They would come when the beef was raw, and they'd put it in the hook, and would take what they want. And so the very sacrifices of God were polluted. The Bible says that the fat was for God. Did you know that? In the Old Testament, the fat was the portion that was burned and it ascended to the nostrils of God. It was his portion. If there's one thing that's going to bring tragedy to your life and tragedy to mine, it's when we forget to give God his portion. God wants his portion today. We're not only tithing our money, but we tithe our lives to him. Can you say amen? In fact, we do more. Our lives belong to him. Worship the Lord. And Samuel The Bible says he began to grow in favor with both God and man. I like that word, favor, to you. In Psalm 30, it says, he says, by thy favor, thou hast caused my mountain to stand strong. That speaks of authority. Listen, all we've got today from God is favor. We can't lay any claim to anything but divine favor today. We've been favored of the Lord. Samuel was favored of God. He grew in favor. I'll tell you, you can grow in popularity, but you can keep popularity. I want to grow in favor. Can you say amen? How many want to grow in favor today? You know, because weeping, because in thy favor, he says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. By thy favor, in thy favor is life. There's life in the favor. There's death in that thing in the world that's popularity. We can be so popular and yet out of favor with God. So many Christians and so many groups that we've seen as they've grown in popularity, and even in Christian, they've left the Christian realm and they've gone to the secular realm because they felt they could make more money. You see, they didn't continue in the favor of God. They left the favor of God. I'll tell you, I want to keep in the favor of God. I'll tell you this, if you're looking for anything, then you look for the favor of God. Because if you get favor of the Lord, God will bless your household. God will bless your church. God will bless your family. And Samuel found favor. I'll tell you, he moved the heart of God. As he was ministering before the Lord, and let me tell you, it never fails. In Acts 13:2, we read that as the disciples fasted in Antioch and ministered before the Lord, the Holy Ghost came on the scene. If you want to bring the Holy Ghost on the scene, begin to minister to the Lord. Amen. Begin to give him his portion. Begin to create a place for God to dwell, because God sits enthroned in his presence. God feels at home when you worship him. We create a place whereby God can work when we praise and worship and reveal. Your Psalm 22 says, he inhabits the praises of Israel. But that's not any kind. That's not just singing a song, two songs or two hymns and then a prayer. That's not praise. No. Praise is from the heart, from the spirit. When we worship God, when we really begin to be moved, God does something. God began to move in Samuel in the purposes of God, and he began to hear from God. I think he'd been about 12 years of age by this time. The priests were getting worse. The situation was getting worse. I'll tell you something. Samuel, Eli should have dealt with his son. The tragedy is we leave our families. We don't deal with our families, and they become a heartbreak to us. We should have maybe dealt with them when they were younger, and then when they get older, they will not depart from that way. And so many of us, we maybe, well, leave it to the Lord. No. I'll tell you something. The rod. We need the rod as well as the word of counsel. And one of the tragedies of our generation is the fact that we've forgotten that the rod is for the child. For the stubborn child. Oh, yes, I know that in schools and here, the same in Britain, they're doing away with punishment. My old dad said that when discipline began to break down, the deterioration of our nation set in. Discipline in every realm, in the military realm. He was an old soldier, and he says, when I saw the soldiers rioting and rebelling in Britain, I knew that the time of the end had come, because when discipline breaks down in these realms, it's finished. And when it breaks down in the home, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. I told you today, with my oldest son, we have three sons and a daughter, and I know I'm sharing this because I feel this is what God wants me to do. And all the son, he became a heartbreak. And my wife and I, many times, we didn't know which way to turn. It became such a trial in our lives. My wife just stood up one day and said to the devil, devil, I don't care what you do. I'll never hand one of my children over to you. And there's some things when you could just stand up and say, I don't care what you're trying to do to my family, to my grandchildren. I'm not going to hand one of them over to you. Now he's married with a lovely Christian wife. We'll be staying with him when we go home at Christmas. I don't see the father in God is Robert. But I'll tell you something. At least he's got a grip. God's got a grip on him. He needs to get a bigger grip on God. But I'll tell you something. We need to stand. As priests, as Glenn said today, we need to take our priestly ministry. As fathers of the households of faith, we need to stand and say, devil, so far, place in your hands and mine. One of the tragedies you don't realize what you've got within you today. You've got the power of God in your life. You've got Christ in you. You've got the Godhead because Christ is a Godhead. You've got everything in you, and all you've got to do is say, let it come forth. That divine authority. I'm not talking about human authority. I'm talking about the authority that God gives to your life when you become a Christian. Samuel was in bed one night. You know, when he, just by the passage, when he would minister, when he would see, he had a little linen ephod, a small linen ephod. His mother would bring one every year, a little coat. There he would minister with a little priestly garment. Can you see the picture? Oh, I tell you, his mother must have been proud to see that little boy worshiping God in his holy temple. You know, when Pharaoh was being dealt with by the plagues in Egypt, and Moses came and stood at that stately Pharaoh, because Pharaoh was a figure to be revered. When he sat, the throne was so set that it didn't matter what position he was sitting there, up there with the conical, with the crocodile behind him, carved in the chair, because this is one of the great gods of Egypt. And he was the god of the Nile. There's hundreds of gods, and when Moses came and stood before him, he says, listen, let us go 3 days' journey to worship God. And one time, Pharaoh says, I'll let you go, but I'll tell you what to do. Leave your children. You can go, but leave your children. Wouldn't the devil like us to leave our children? Wouldn't you like you and I to leave our children in the world and us going, no, I'd rather die than leave my children in Egypt. I'm not leaving anything of mine here. They're going on into the kingdom of God. They're going with me. Moses says, listen, not a hoof shall be left behind. Are you listening today? Not a hoof shall be, not even the children, not of my possessions either. I'm going with the cattle. They need to be fed. I'm going with every provision God's made. And when he left, they left with plenty. I hear folks talking about impoverishment of Christians. Listen, when God's people left, they left with all the wealth of Egypt. Sad to say, it was some of that wealth that tripped them up later. But I'll tell you, it was God's blessing was with them. Samuel ministered before the Lord. And one night he was ministering. And his heart was in tune. You know the Bible says he began to minister between Dan and Beersheba. And it says about Samson that he began to move between two cities. You know, one of the things is he began to get into tune with God. Isn't it beautiful to get into tune with God? He began to get into tune with God. You know, we need to get into tune with God. We need to get our hearts in tune. We're so tuned to the world, but we need to get our hearts in tune. Amen. Brother Lawrence could be, he said he could be working at the pots and pans and the clatter of the dishes, and he could be practicing the presence of God in the midst of all that noise. Because his heart, his spirit was in tune with the Almighty. When I was quickened, 20 years ago, we were in business, and I remember we were driving a truck one time, and my dad was sitting beside me, and he was talking to me about the things of business, but my spirit was right up there. I was listening to what he said, but my heart was gone. I was worshiping. I'll tell you, that's how we came to this country, because our hearts began to get in tune with God's heart, and we began to get in tune with the purposes of God. Listen, we need to get in tune with his heart, and we need to get in tune with the purposes of God. Because when you get in tune with the heart of God, when you get like David, a man after his heart, you're going to want to do one thing, his will. His will is best, you see, by means of his hand. Amen. The Bible says in Acts 13, God speaking with David and Saul, he says, I have removed Saul, but I have found David, a man after my own heart. Listen, we've got to be after God's heart today. Samuel was after the heart of God. He was brought and he was ministering before the Lord, and the Holy Ghost began to talk to him. And he arose and he came to the priest, and the priest should have known. He says, go back to sleep. Twice he came, and the third time he perceived it was the Lord. He was a son of Ithamar. Eli was a son of Ithamar, who was a descendant of Aaron. So he came from the Aaronic line. He was a good man, but his sons, but he didn't correct his sons. What a tragedy. You know what happened to Samuel too? That Samuel's sons didn't go after the Lord. I can't understand it, but I think we should seek to get them into the plan of God. But Samuel wholly followed the Lord. He began to listen, and God began to talk to Samuel about Eli and his family. And one of the things he said was this. He says, when I begin, I will also make an end. When I begin. Listen, what God's begun, he's going to finish. I didn't say I'd finish it, he'd finish it. He says that I'll build my church. He didn't say you would. He didn't say I would. He didn't say the Pentecostal movement. They've been trying for years to build a church. Jesus didn't say they would build a church. He said, I'll build a church. I listened to Brother Foster, what he said, and it struck me really forcibly. The Pentecostal movement began in division, standing in confusion. It was confusion in the beginning, though divided our way back there. But listen, I've got good news for you today. God's bringing harmony. He's bringing unity. He's bringing our togetherness again to the body of Christ. Can you say amen? Samuel ministered, and listen, and David was brought to pass, because I'll deal with this later, but I feel that I can stop them and then go into, for the short term is left, briefly to tell how God brought us to this country. I felt this was the purpose that I stood up to say. You know, as a young man of 18, I narrowly escaped drowning. I was in the middle of the North Sea in a ship that sunk. I was in a wreck, picked up in the depths of the sea, brought into the port of Aberdeen, deeply under conviction of sin. As a student on the bridge of that sinking ship, without God, without hope, I looked into the face of eternity. There's nothing for me. And I began to repent, and I began to regret. And if I could have changed my life at that moment, I would have changed it. But I had no more to change it than anybody else. Now, I remember we were landed safely, and 1 year later, I was in a lonely island, in the island of Stroma, and I was coming home to visit my mother, who was sick. Came to the mainland. But let me tell you what had happened before this. I was deeply under conviction, and many times during this time of conviction, I escaped death by threads, by inches, several times, and this only brought conviction worse to my spirit. See, when you're young, you'll do things you'd never do today, and we would take risks that, you know, I was in a salvage operation, and I used to cut with acetylene burners, and we were working in cutting up a big steamer that had been bombed or gone ashore during the war on this island. And I came to the thought this now. I said, Lord, if I'd lived to about 70, what would the end of my life be as I was living? Someone has said that if you've lived to be 100, you've never lived a million hours. I felt if I could have written a book, and I felt I could have written a book. I was only 19, but let me tell you, young folk in this nation could write a book before they're 19 of the experience they've gone through outside of God. I could have written a book, but the title of the book would have been Where? With a big question mark, where would I spend eternity? I remember in this state of mind, God dealing with me, I came to the mainland, and I traveled to this lonely part, Johnnycroft, it's the furthest north part of Scotland, and I came to a little restaurant, and I walked down to visit some men that were working in a similar occupation as I was. They were rough men, we were just, you know, how it was, they were working there, and hard drinkers and hard livers, and I know that as I made my way down that road to go to that hotel to meet these men, if I'd made that hotel that day, my story could have been different today. But instead, as I walked that road, God spoke to me. I didn't know God. But God spoke to me, and I turned and went back to the restaurant. You know that God's got a way of dealing with your loved ones through prayer that you don't know, maybe through someone else, and this is an example of how God dealt with someone else. I went into this restaurant, and I sat down to order something, and right in the middle of the table, I noticed some gospel visitors, just gospel tracts. And right in front of one of them was Square, with a big question mark. And as I read inside this tract, it was the last sayings of some great men. And one was Sir Walter Scott. As he was dying, this great author said to his nephew, "Bring me the book." His nephew looked at him with astonishment, thinking of the books his uncle had read. He said, "Which book?" He said, "There's only one book, the Bible." "And you're glad? And you're glad that last year President Reagan declared the year of the Bible?" Listen, a nation's going places when you've got a president that can make such a statement. Amen. You know, you maybe don't believe it. I've seen the change in this nation. And I'm only an onlooker since that was declared last year. I've seen things getting better and brighter. And listen, they're only going to get better if we continue to acknowledge God in our lives. Take God in our nations. You know, it says the nation that honors God's going to be honored. Amen. The nation, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. But the nation that honors him is going to stand. Can you say amen? I read on, and this lady came through, and she said to me, I said, excuse me, could I get some of these gospel tracts? Now, this is a miracle of God. I've been thinking of a miracle. It happened to me. I'd no thought of God. I was totally unregenerate, totally unsaved, and this lady looked me in the eyes and said, young man, are you a Christian? Well, I was anything but a Christian. I was a heavy smoker and drinker. I lived it up in the world, and when she said to me, are you a Christian? I was only 19. I said, yes, I'm a Christian. You'll wonder that answer, but let me tell you what happened. It happened in a moment of time. As I said, yes, I'm a Christian, this burden of sin that I'd carried for so long I couldn't care to remember fell from my heart. I was translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I became a child of God. She got so excited, and so did I. I threw the cigarettes into the stove. She had an old-fashioned stove. I smoked the fool's 10 cigarettes. I pushed them into the stove, and God delivered me from nicotine. Not altogether, but just 2 weeks after that, I was completely delivered. Delivered from alcohol. I went home to see my family saved. His old aunt was praying for me. So I thought, well, when I get near her, I better tell her first. I came to our living room at home, and I stood in our living room floor, and I said, Meg, would you like one of these tacks? I'll never forget the look of astonishment in her face and joy. She says, Michael, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I'm saved. And there we wept together, right in the middle of our living room floor. My six-foot cousin John, he says, I went through another part of the home. He says, I wept. You know why I wept, Michael? I thought it was impossible that you'd ever be saved. Isn't that amazing? God saved me with an uttermost salvation. I know the time's running up, but I want to tell you what happened to my family. I went home and began to witness to my family. They would laugh at me. They would ask me to sing one of the songs. They would think I'd sing some of the songs I'd sing when I was in the world, but I'd stand in the middle of our home and I'd sing, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, and right in the middle of the song, I'd break down and weep, and my family would say, Mother, you better get him seen to. He's getting soft in the head. Let me tell you something. It wasn't my head that was soft. It was my heart. The Bible says, give me your heart. Nobody said, give me your head. God could do without your head. Listen, do you know that the head is a part that brings objections when God wants to do something with you? This old little peanut brain of yours and mine gets in the way of God's dealings. No wonder the Holy Ghost speaks to us, and he misses a mind. He misses this thing. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. God began to move. One after another. And last of all, I told you, my dad, he'd gone to the British Army. You'll read that in that tape that we've got there. He signed himself in underage in the First World War, and he never knew what alcohol was until he went to the Army. He would play his little mouth organ in the trenches, and all he played was hymns. They thought he was a Christian. But before they left the British Army, they'd introduced him to alcohol. Because they would give him alcohol to go over the trenches. He was a bombardier. He played the pipes, and he played the tubes in the battle. And they gave him alcohol. He developed a taste for alcohol. And when he came home from the British Army, he was addicted to drink. A young man. My grandmother was talking one day to a friend of my dad's, and he said, when is your son? He called him by his nickname. When is he coming home from India? He was wounded twice in France, volunteered to go to India, nearly died of dysentery, and he was coming home. And he said, when's your son coming home? I want to drink with him. My old grandmother was a backslider. She says, listen, I'll tell you something. I'd rather that my son, that ship carrying my son, sung between here and Britain before I would see him living a life that you're living. No mother would like to see her son addicted to alcohol. But my dad, they came back and for 40 years, this is when we were young boys, it was nothing for us to see our dad roll in the grip of alcohol, crying for the names of the buddies he'd seen killed. In fact, when he was going for provisions one day, he told us that on his way back, he was crawling back to his trench, a shell landed right on the top of his trench, and every one of his buddies, you see, one of his best buddies, with his head going clear off his shoulders. It has affected a young man. And when he came home, he gave himself a drink. One night, I was giving the gospel, I believe he was 58 years of age. said, God, if you help me, I'll try this salvation. And one night, in a little hall similar to this, he accepted the part. He walked from the back of the church with a mom behind him, gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ, and he never looked back. He went on. As Robert said, the day came when the Lord took over in 1976, February the 2nd, 1976. He went downtown in a bitterly cold day. He wouldn't miss the chance of giving out his gospel tracts. In fact, when I was taking the funeral, several men came to me after the funeral and said, you know, your dad gave me a gospel tract today, just before he died. I'll tell you something. He's dead, but yet speaking. And when we buried him, we've got the clan system back in Scotland. And everybody knows their own clan. And we're proud of our clan. And we draped the plaid over the coffin of old dad, and the four brothers carried him. He was resting. His last resting place here. But you know, one of the bagpipes, you know what they were playing? The bagpipe was playing, this was the custom usually of a chief. And the bagpipes were playing Amazing Grace. How sweet the song. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Let me tell you something. God can do more with your life if you give it to him. God wants you to be out and out. I'm talking to folk with families here today. We came to the United States. God brought us into a realm of praise. Listen, we prayed 3.5 years for revival. And we fasted during that time too. And during at the end of the fasting and praying, the company that we belonged to excommunicated us. You say, is that an answer to prayer? Well, thank God it was an answer to prayer. We wouldn't have been here today if that hadn't been an answer to prayer. We built our own building. We built this place called Zion Tabernacle. And there we began to worship the Lord. But you know, we began to preach bitterness. Someone has said, you cannot be bitter and be blessed. We were bitter against the movement that had dealt with us, and we weren't blessed. But somehow the Holy Ghost got hold of our lives. And we began to be changed by the power of God, and something happened in here. I think you call it the release of the Spirit. And we began to weep before the Lord. We began to forgive one another. We began to love one another. We began to confess anything we felt was wrong in our lives. And God brought us into a realm of praise and worship that we never thought was possible. We would see people slain under the power of God and healed. We would see people touched by God as had never been touched before. And listen, we were only simple people. Just a band of brothers and family whose hearts the Lord had touched. God began to move and people began to be changed. And we brought into this ministry of praise. And the Holy Ghost said to me in 1965, you're going to take this message of praise and restoration to the United States. And I shared this vision with some of our folks and they laughed at us. In March the 17th, 1966, we landed in New York. We were walking up Fifth Avenue, dressed with our Scottish kilts, our Scottish attire. Four brothers and my dad dressed in the kilts, and that was a sight to see. And a group of people approached us, and they said, oh, excuse me, are you here for the Irish parade? We weren't there for the Irish parade. We were there for the Jesus parade. Amen. God opened doors all over. This precious couple we met many, many times in full gospel meetings, full gospel services, where people were taught to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, you've got to start somewhere. And then came the charismatic move. But I believe that was only a means to an end. But listen, we've moved into a greater realm today. This is a realm of restoration. When God's restoring back the power where it belongs. God's coming to the churches today. God's coming to the movements today. And he's pleading with them with the fire and with the sword. With the fire of the Holy Ghost and the sword of the Spirit. Can you say amen? And God's going to bring a company out of a company. And God's going to have a people. Listen, and with this I'm going to close. Jesus said in his prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And for hundreds of years, the kingdom of God message was preached without the anointing. Until the 1880s, until God got hold of some of Mary Woodruff Etter and Alexander Dowie, men of God, and anointed them with the Holy Ghost. And tongues began to be heard again. The sign of the Holy Ghost coming was seen. People began to speak in tongues. Somebody said, do I need to speak in tongues after the Holy Ghost? Do I need to speak in tongues? Well, it's the only sign that I know that the Holy Ghost has come. It's like ringing the bells in heaven. When the Holy Ghost uses your tongue, it's like ringing a bell. Hallelujah. It's a sign that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is in your life. Hallelujah. Paul says, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Now I tell you, we should speak in tongues every moment, every opportunity we should get. And God began to move in power. First, it was a kingdom. For 100 years, we've seen the power of God in His many and varied forms. We've seen the healing revivals. We've seen the visitation of, we've seen the charismatic move. We've seen the full gospel businessmen. We've seen all rise to the zenith of power. But let me tell you the period that we're moving into today. It is called the Feast of Tabernacles. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for what we felt of your presence, the sense of your nearness and dearness. Now, Lord, do your own, and we know you're doing your own peculiar work in your own peculiar way. Lord, tip us from vessel to vessel until we became wine purified and clear. Don't let us be the same vessel, Lord, the same state or vessel, but Lord, empty us from vessel to vessel according to your plan, that when the wine of your Spirit, Lord, comes through us, it'll come through us with sweetness and clarity. God, do a dealing in our lives. Bless Glenn and Irma, Lord. We thank you for them, for this place that you've raised up in these days. God, there's so much more you're going to reveal to them. We pray that you'll keep your hand upon them. As a blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow shall continually be their portion. God, take them through is our prayer. And your people, in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. The Lord bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.